My guest at this time is Niall Gardner. He's the director of the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We also want to get his insight as the U.S. Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the central banks of a handful of other nations around the world added some liquidity to the world financial system, and apparently that has made Wall Street very happy, closing well above 400 points in the affirmative on Wednesday and north of 12,000 overall. And Niall, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
There are so many different analyses here, from some saying this is simply staving off calamity for a number of weeks at the worst, maybe a little bit longer than that if it's a better analysis, and yet Wall Street seems to be giddy over this. What's the real way to look at this?
Well, I think this is a precautionary step being taken by the Federal Reserve in anticipation of an absolutely massive crisis evolving on the European front. So this does appear to be a sensible measure being taken by the Fed in conjunction with central banks across the world, including with the Bank of England and the European Central Bank. But this is really a precautionary measure to protect, ideally, of course, the United States and other sort of and key U.S. allies as well, from the effects of the what I see as the impending collapse of the eurozone. So, so I do see this as a sensible measure. This should not be interpreted as some kind of U.S. bailout of Europe. That's not happening at all. This is not a transfer of U.S. funds to Europe, which I would be fundamentally opposed to. But this is a sensible measure, essentially to calm the markets here in the United States and also in Europe as well. But you know, having said that, I think the long-term prognosis for Europe looks incredibly bleak. This is the biggest crisis facing Europe for many, many decades, the biggest crisis certainly since the Second World War. And it is on such a large scale that I think that only a fundamental change in the way things are done in Europe will actually solve this this crisis. And that includes, of course, huge cuts in government spending, a decline in government spending, welfare reform, less government borrowing, all sorts of measures that are required in order to settle the markets and deal with the biggest debt crisis of not just this generation, but of two or three generations.
Given that even the more stable nations of Europe and the United States are still looking at huge debt, the nation that you're from and served in the government of, the UK, they're looking at austerity measures. A lot of people think we should be in the United States. So even though this was essentially an interest rate reduction and not a bailout, as you pointed out, how much can the United States, the United Kingdom, and other countries involved with this sustain this?
You know, at the end of the day, I think that what we're seeing here in terms of, for example, U.S. and British action is a temporary measure, principally to protect markets in London and New York. They are, after all, the two biggest financial centers in the world. But in the long run, I really don't think that, you know, the United States is in a position to save Europe. Only Europe can save itself from this huge financial contagion, which is spreading across the continent. It started off in Greece. It's spread now to Italy, Spain, and Portugal. It is even reaching into France and Germany itself. And when Germany, Europe's most important, certainly most powerful economy in Europe, is in danger of being sucked into this financial crisis, you know things are extremely bad.
Talk a little bit more about what a calamity in Europe would look like. We keep hearing about being on the precipice, falling off the cliff, default, all these different ominous-sounding terms. What would that actually look like?
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, you are likely to see the gradual dissolution of the eurozone. And after all, the eurozone, which is made up of 17 European countries, is really an artificial political project. These are all 17 sovereign nations with their own economies, sets of national interests, etc. But the European project is trying to unite together all of these disparate economies. And I think you're going to see that unraveling. That is certainly going to have a very unsettling effect, I think, on global markets. In the long run, though, it may well be a good thing, frankly, for the euro to unravel, because it is an inherently artificial currency that is being sustained purely, I think, by political considerations at the moment. In the long run, I think Europe is far better, frankly, with its own national currencies. These national currencies succeeded for hundreds and hundreds of years in Europe. The euro was set up in 1999, and it's already falling apart. So I think we're going to see some dramatic changes in Europe, some significant short-term shocks. In the long run, though, I think it's healthy for Europe, it's healthy for the United States, if Europe actually returns to the principles of national sovereignty, which I think will be essential in order to deal with long-term economic problems.
So dig out those old Deutschmarks and francs. They could be coming back.
And, they could well be coming back.
And Niall says that's a very good thing in the long run, although it could be somewhat painful in the near term if this crisis does, in fact, reach its perhaps likely conclusion at this point. Sir, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Niall Gardner is the director of the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.